Passage of Luke's Gospel, chapter number 2. It's just a few verses from Luke chapter 2. If you just want to listen, I will read these words this morning, Luke chapter 2, and then we'll sing together that beautiful chorus, "Open Our Eyes, Lord." Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 29. "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all the peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken to him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against, yes, a sword which will pierce through our own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." I went on there a few more verses, but that's what it says. Let's be seated, please. Read the Christmas story. He's one person that's sort of shoved to the sidelines and sort of a back room stage person, if you will. But yet someone who was very significant in the revelation of the birth of the Christ child. His name is Simeon. He was a religious and devout man, we're told, by the Jewish historian Josephus. A man who had spent his entire life eagerly awaiting for God to send a Messiah to redeem all of Israel. Now, the Holy Spirit had promised Simeon that he would not die until he had seen Christ. So Simeon was prepared to live a ripe old age. But nonetheless, his heart was bent on seeing this Christ child, whom they had talked so much about. To Simeon, Jesus was inescapable. He was inescapable. And that's what I want to speak to you about this morning, the inescapable Jesus. Simeon saw him as being inescapable. Do you see him as being inescapable? Can the world afford, in a day of terrorism, in a day of so much terrible tragedy that we hear about and see all the time, can the world really afford to escape knowing about Jesus? Did Simeon expect this Christ, this Messiah, to be really born as a baby? I don't know if he did or not. Probably not. He was probably expecting to meet a grown man, maybe someone who was part rabbi, part political leader. And that's what most first centuries expected the Messiah to be anyway. They thought he would come as a politician, maybe as someone who would shake him loose a little bit and set him straight. But the promise was fulfilled in Simeon's life when the Holy Spirit led him to go to the temple in Jerusalem on the same day that Mary and Joseph had come with Jesus to participate in a very special sacrifice required for firstborn sons. And when he saw Jesus, something really stirred in his spirit. And he knew that this little child was more than just a little child. This little baby was more than just a little baby. This little child was the fulfillment of God's promises. And Simeon took the little boy into his arms. He held him tightly, and he praised God, and he said, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace. What I've waited for all these years has finally come to pass. I now have in my arms the true Messiah, the real Messiah, Jesus, because he says, I have seen your salvation. Then Simeon prophesied about the child Messiah in his arms, we're told. And his words tell us so much about Jesus. about who he is. Gave us a little glimpse as to why he came into this world and what his purpose was, and how you and I, even in the year 2015, must respond to this child that Simeon held in his arms. There are three gospel truths in Simeon's prophecy, I think, that are relevant for us today. I want us to look at them. And these truths remind us of why Christmas is such a wonderful, meaningful time of the year. It's the most beautiful time of the year, that song says. I'm not going to sing it. But it is. It is the most beautiful time of the year. Because we have so much to celebrate. And we have so much to behold. It's as we think about this chosen one, as we think about how God sent his servant to become one of us, his only begotten son, and how he entered into human history to die on the cross for our sins, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's something to celebrate. That's something to behold. That's the gospel according to Christmas, if you will, in a single sentence. If you were to capsulize it, it's right there. Today I want us to look at Simeon's prophecy and the truths that he spoke about Jesus. You see, they all point to Jesus. Everything we see in the New Testament, everything we see in the Old Testament, all the prophets, all the characters, everything points to Jesus. Three things about Jesus this morning, this child, this Bethlehem babe that come to the forefront. Number one, because of Jesus, we know that everything can be all right. Simeon had come to realize that. Once Simeon was able to hold this Christ child, he realized it was okay for him then. Everything would be all right. He could just lay down and die, as he said he would. And when you listen to Simeon's words, you can hear how overcome he was with peace, how overcome he was with fulfillment, with optimism, and with assurance. And if you read this passage in the Old King James, which I'm going to read it again from the Old King James, I think it's really beautiful coming from the Old King James version of the Bible. In verse 29, it says, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Have you ever said that? Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And he goes on to say in verse 31, "which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory for thy people Israel." Beautiful words. He was saying this little child is the hope for all humanity. He was saying that this little babe was the only way out, was the only escape. He was saying that this little child was the way, the truth, and the life for every human being that has ever walked on the face of this earth. He was saying that this little baby, to all the people of the world, to every nation, to every tribe, to every skin color, to every language ever spoken, that he is the light of the world. That he is the light to the Gentiles and the glory of the people of Israel. That he is the plan of salvation to whoever would believe in his name. Isn't this what we need to hear today? Instead of all this political correctness that's all around us. Instead of all this terrorism that we hear about. Instead of all the political, non-political stuff you hear about in Washington and everything else, don't we need to hear good news for a change? Don't we need to hear something that's optimistic? That was an optimistic message, if I must say it was. But that's not all there is to it. Yes, the Bible predicts that there will be some dark days in this world. And I believe that the days that are before us will even get darker than what they are now. I believe that with certainty in my heart, because the Bible says that before Christ returns, before Jesus comes back, there will be this time of tribulation. There will be this time when Christians will be martyred for their faith. There will be this time when believers will have to stand up or either sit down for the cause of Christ. I believe that day is coming. But the end of the story is a beautiful end. You know, persecution is not the end of the story. You know, we have such a narrow perspective on how things are in this world right now, where we are here in the state of Maine. We are so isolated from the rest of the world. But if we were to go where Christians are today, in other parts of the world, in Afghanistan, in Iran, in Iraq, places where it's illegal to be a Christian, and where if you speak out in the name of Jesus, you will be executed publicly. We have no idea what that means. We have no idea. We have no understanding of the implications involved in that. But you know, there's oppression and there's opposition and there's defeat. But that's not the end of the story. Tribulation is not the end of the story. What is the end of the story? Well, the Bible tells us very clearly. And that is that Jesus wins in a nutshell, that we win if we're in Him. The Bible teaches us that the ultimate and complete victory is through Jesus Christ for His glory. Eternal peace and never-ending joy. That's what it's all about. That's what's ours. If you're a believer today, if you know Christ, that's what's yours. That you have victory. And you may say, well, I don't feel that victory. And I don't know, understand that victory. And I can't, you know, I really messed up in many, many ways. But if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, the Bible says the victory is already yours. The Bible says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. The victory is already yours. That victory was attained for you when Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago for your sin and for mine. It's yours. We can be optimistic at Christmas time because of that. No, Jesus was not just born a human being. He was born the divine Son of God. He was the Word of God. He was the Word who became flesh and tabernacled among us. He is co-eternal with the Father and the Holy Spirit. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the bright and morning star. He is everything there is, everything that embodies all of heaven itself. We see it in Jesus Himself. You see, God's ultimate plan for the direction of human history, His plan was set in motion on that silent night 2,000 years ago. It was an amazing story, amazing way how it unfolded. We sing about it through the carols of joy to the world. And come all ye faithful, and silent night, holy night. But we can experience it in our hearts as well. And because of Jesus, everything will be all right in the grand scheme of things. You see, I happen to be optimistic in that. Even though we suffer trials and tribulations in this life right now, even though some of us may be going through absolute pure distress and hell on earth itself. I'm optimistic because I know whom I have believed it. And I'm persuaded that I'm able to keep that which I've committed it unto Him against that day. That's what the Bible says. Even though we suffer trials now, and even though the world creaks and groans and pains, even though there's so much wrong with what we see around us, we can know that God is sovereign, and God is directing the course of human history in the direction of the ultimate victory and eternal joy for His people. That's what God is up to. He's up to something good. But there's more. You see, the Christian life is not just about sitting around a campfire and singing Kumbaya. It's not about just singing all these happy, feel-good songs. The Christian life is about living it right now and living out our lives and our faith so that the world around us will see that this Jesus, born in this stable 2,000 years ago, is who he says he is, the eternal Son of God. That he is that. He is that. And we can be sure of that. We can sure that we can experience that victory in our lives right now, whatever our troubles, whatever our stress, whatever our pain, whatever our suffering, we can experience it right now because he is Emmanuel, God with us. He is with us. And we can be sure that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him and those who are called according to his purpose. We can be sure of that. And we can be sure that if God be for us, who can be against us? We can be sure of that. And we can be persuaded that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We can say that. And despite all the things that we hear, in all the darkness, and all the gloom, despite it all, the overwhelming victory is ours this very moment through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's ours. It's ours to keep. It's ours forever. The world cannot take it from us. Satan cannot destroy it. It's ours. It's yours. It's mine. If you know Jesus as your Savior, as your Lord. Because of Jesus, everything's going to be all right. Second thing that Simeon taught us was this. And that is because of Jesus, our lives can be full of light right now. We can be light. We can be hope. Simeon called the baby Jesus a light to reveal God to the nations and the glory of your people in Israel. He called him a light to reveal God to the nations. And he is a light to the nations. He's been a light to the nations for 2,000 years. He's been that light. And do you know what God is really like? The Bible says if you want to know what God's like, look at Jesus. In the book of Hebrews, it says he is the exact representation of his being. He says in John 14, verse 9, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. He says in John chapter 10, verse 30, he says, I and the Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, he says. It's so powerful. The Apostle John said to him that the true light, which lighteth every man which cometh into the world, he is that true light. He is the light. He is the light of the world today. We light these candles today, representing that very fact that he is light in a dark world. And Jesus came into the world to die on the cross for our sins, to pay the price for your sins on the cross, that we could live forever in heaven in his presence, that we can know him and enjoy him. And that's not all. He came to show us what God is really like. He came to teach us to know how to know God. He came to teach us how to love God, how to serve God. How to love ourselves, how to love others, how to love our neighbors, how to love the city bum, to love the Muslim, to love the outcast, to love the person who we may see as not having any hope at all. That's why he came. And those who follow him will live in that light. He is light today. The Apostle John said, God is light. And in him there's no darkness at all. There's no darkness. You see, the skeptics have been trying to prove that to be wrong. The agnostics have been trying to say that Jesus is not the Son of God, that he has not come from the Father, that he was just a good man and he was just a good teacher, that he was just a good person. The Bible says, and history records in itself, that Jesus came into this world to save sinners, that he lived a perfect life. He went to the cross and he died and he rose again from the third day. You didn't see Muhammad doing that. You didn't see Confucius doing that or Buddha doing that. Only Jesus did that. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, if we are living in the light as God is the light, then we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin if we're living in that light, if we have the light of the gospel within us. You see, that's what we can learn in the gospel according to Christmas. If there's light, he is the light. Jesus says, I am the light. If you're walking in the light today, you have Christmas in your heart. You have the gospel according to Christmas. Simeon teaches us that. And here's the third and final thing that Simeon teaches us. Because of Jesus, not only are we walking in the light, and not only will everything be all right, but thirdly and finally, because of Jesus, everyone must make that choice. Everyone must make that decision. Verse 34, if you read it here in the scriptures, it says, then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, this child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall, but he will be a joy to many others. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. And of course, we see that Jesus was hated. He was mocked. Soldiers spat upon him as they led him to the cross. On that day of the crucifixion, he was mocked. There was horrible, terrible, awful things that happened to him. But that wasn't it. He rose. And he did it because of your sin and mine, because he loved us so much. In verse 35, as a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul. You know, I remember the day I trusted Christ as my Savior. It was like a sword pierced my soul, because it divided me away from the things that Satan wanted me to be a part of. It was like God invaded in a new way in my life, that he came into my heart, he touched me, he made me whole, gave me new life. I became born again into the family of God, and I became one of his children. But I had to make a decision. I had to make a choice. And I chose that day, on June the 21st, 1974, to accept Christ as my Savior, as my Lord. You see, because of Jesus, everything will be all right. Yes. Because of Jesus, my life can be full of light. Yes. For whom? For those who will choose Jesus. For those who will choose Jesus. Earlier I quoted, I think I may have quoted from Revelation, if not today, then another Sunday, the promise that every tear will be wiped away. I read this verse a lot at funerals. And that death and pain will be done away with when a believer passes away. The book of Revelation tells us that there will be those who will spend eternity who will be separated from God. That's a pretty sad picture right there. But for the believer, there'll be no more pain. There'll be no more suffering. There'll be no more agony. There'll be no more defeat. What's the determining factor? It's your decision whether to trust Jesus or not. It's your choice as to whether to embrace what he did for you on the cross or not. It's your choice as to whether you choose to trust him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, to be your Lord, to be your Savior. You see, where you spend eternity is up to you. How you live your life is up to you. Each person, each individual right here in this room this morning must decide what you will do with Jesus Christ, either to accept him or reject him. You must make that decision. I can't make it for you. No one else can make it for you. You have to make that decision. You see, you will either accept him or you will reject him. You will run to him or you'll run away from him. You will embrace him or you will kick him out. One of the two. You will follow him or you will ignore him. You must choose what you will do with this Jesus of Nazareth. Simeon chose to pick him up and embrace him, to love him, to serve him, and to know him. And I trust that's what you will do as well. That's your decision as well. Everything I know about God tells me that everyone gets a fair chance to know him. Everyone gets a fair chance to follow him. And no one will stumble their way unknowingly into hell any more than anyone will stumble their way into heaven. Everyone gets that choice. But you must make that decision. You see, that includes you. And the question is, what will you do with this Jesus who is called the Christ? Jesus himself said, "He who is not with me is against me." And he also said, "Whoever is not against us is for us." And he's saying that you can't ride the fence. You can't sit on the fence. You cannot have it both ways. You're either on one side or the other. You're either in or you're out. You're either moving forward or you're moving backward. You're either walking toward the light or you're walking towards darkness. It's just as simple as that. I'm going to stop right now. Simeon, I'm sure, would tell you what I probably told you, that you have to make that decision. He chose to make a decision. He spent his whole life waiting to see God's chosen Messiah. He spent his whole life, just before he died, he got a glimpse of the Savior. And how wonderful it is that we can get a glimpse of him and we can know him before it's too late. It's the same in your spiritual experience. You see, the Christian life is not a sprint. It's not a spiritual equivalent to a get-rich-quick scheme or anything like that. It really is a marathon. It's a long-term marathon. Surrender, serving, faithfulness to him. And because of Jesus, everything will be all right. Because of Jesus, we can walk in the light. And because of Jesus, we can choose to know him and the fullness of his power and his resurrection glory every single day. Let's pray. Lord, this Jesus is inescapable. There's just no way of getting around it. We either embrace him or we run away from him. And Lord, I know there are some this morning, perhaps right in this room, who may be making that decision. Many have made that decision to embrace him like Simeon did. But there may be someone here this morning, Lord, who has not trusted Jesus to be their Lord and Savior. And I would ask, Lord, today, in the wonderful and powerful name of Jesus, that you would touch that person and bring them and draw them to yourself. With every head bowed and every eye closed here this morning, I'm wondering, is there someone here today that may want to make that decision to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior? I realize that many of you are believers. Many of you have already made that decision. But just in case, there may be someone here today who's been teeter-tottering or sitting on the fence. If you just raise your hand and just say, "Lord, I want to become a Christian today. I want to know Jesus as my personal Savior." You just slip your hand right up. Well, no one is looking. You may want to pray a prayer like this. "Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And I know I deserve your wrath. But I thank you that Jesus came into this world, and that he lived that perfect life, and he went to the cross, and he died for my sin. And so now, Lord, I accept you as my Savior, as my Lord. And that's a forever contract. And I invite you into my life right now. If you've done that this morning, just slip your hand up. Thank you, Lord, for your love to us, for your word, for reminding us of the gospel according to Christmas, that it's the greatest news ever to be spoken. And I thank you that we can go tell about it wherever we go. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to conclude this morning as we sing together that great Christmas.